Blog Talk Radio.
This is Scott Middleton, host of I Love 80s Wrestling Podcast. When I want to listen to a podcast, I listen to Radio Takedown Networks. They have Debashi's Radio Takedown. He talks about sports and entertainment or whatever you want to talk about, and it's always uncensored. And they also have Up to the Task with Kevin Sullivan, and he always has a special guest. So do what I do. Go listen to the Radio Takedown Network. You can find it here on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes. Welcome to I Love 80s Wrestling Podcast. This is Scott Middleton, and I'm your host, and this episode is discussing Starrcade and Survivor Series Part 2. If you joined us yesterday, we had three great callers, and today one of our callers is back, Nick. You'll remember him, and for the next 30 minutes, we'll be taking calls and emails about this. So welcome back to the show, Nick.
Thanks for having me again. Love doing this with you.
Yeah. Today, we're going to do a little different. We're going to talk about the actual matches, the top three matches of each Starrcade and the Survivor Series, what I think they are, and see if Nick will agree. And hopefully you'll call in to give us your opinion, or you'll email us your opinion. The number to call in is 646-668-8873 or ilove80swrestling@gmail.com. Now, we're going to start out with the very first Starrcade, 83, A Flair for the Gold. Now, in my opinion, the top three matches at number three is for the NWA World Heavyweight title inside a steel cage, and that is Ric Flair versus Harley Race. And the number two match on that card for me was the NWA World Tag Team title match between Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood versus Jack and Jerry Briscoe. And the number one match on that card, in my opinion, and it was a bloody match, and that was the dog collar match between Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine. What do you think, Nick?
I think you switch two and three, and you got a nice list there. I think the Flair match was definitely better than the tag team title match, but that's just me. I was never a big fan of the Briscoes to begin with, so.
Yeah. So what did you think of the dog collar match, Piper and Valentine?
It's one of my all-time favorite matches. Two guys I grew up with, always will be big fans of. You know, my love for Roddy Piper runs deep. I mean, everything he's ever done in the business and in entertainment in general. I've always been a fan of Greg the Hammer Valentine. Loved his in-ring style. He was such a badass in that ring. And those two together just beating the hell out of each other. It was awesome to watch. It's still great to go back and watch.
Oh, yeah. And for me, just like Nick said, it was an awesome match to watch. Very bloody, very brutal. They, if you ever watched the Piper's DVD, he said Jim Crockett just came and told him, you know, do what you got to do, basically, to make this a good match, and that's what they did. Now, let's move on to Starrcade 84. It was called the Million Dollar Challenge. My top three matches was for the NWA World title and the Million Dollars, Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair. The number two match was for the NWA United States title, Wahoo McDaniels versus superstar Billy Graham. And the number one match on that card for me, in my opinion, was for the NWA World TV title, Ricky Steamboat versus Tully Blanchard. What do you think, Nick?
That's probably my least favorite Starrcade, maybe. Well, actually, no, that'd be 87. I guess I'd agree with that list. That one I probably haven't seen as many times as the others. But I do remember liking the Flair and Rhodes match. I can't think of a single Flair Rhodes match I didn't like. The Superstar Billy Graham match, I really wouldn't rate that high, because at that point in Billy Graham's career, he was so far, like, gone. I mean, it was just kind of, it was at that point in his career, it's kind of sad to watch him wrestle, even against a great guy like Wahoo. And, of course, Steamboat and Tully Blanchard had some great matches, but I don't think I'd rate that one that high either.
Ah, okay. All right, now we're going to move on to Starrcade 85. It's called The Gathering. And, incidentally, Starrcade 85 and 86, they came from the same areas, the Greensboro Coliseum, and I believe it's the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia. So, Starrcade 85, The Gathering, my top three matches was the NWA World Heavyweight title match, Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair. The number two match was for the NWA World Tag Team titles inside the steel cage, the Rock and Roll Express versus Ivan and Nikita Koloff. And my number one match, it was inside a steel cage for the NWA United States heavyweight title, and it was the I Quit match. That was Ric Flair, that was Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard. What's your opinion, Nick?
To me, there's really only one match on that card I really, truly enjoyed, and that's Tully and Magnum. In my opinion, that is one of the greatest matches in the entire history of the NWA. That match, they told such a great story in that match. It was bloody. It was violent. It was brutal. The crowd was completely into it the entire time. Both guys gave 110% in that ring, and it really shows in the end result. And that is just, just a classic match.
Oh, yeah, and to me, the one part that I'll always remember from that match, and I'm sure you will, and I'm sure everyone will, is when Magnum TA took that part of that chair and just stuck it right into Tully Blanchard's forehead, and you hear him saying, asking do you quit, and Tully's like, yes, 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 yelling yes, and it was just a great, brutal match, in my opinion, and it was really great. So that was my top three of the 85. Now, the 86... it was called The Night of the Skywalkers. And my top three of that card was Brad Armstrong versus Jimmy Garvin, the Rock and Roll Express versus Ole and Arn Anderson inside a steel cage for the World Tag Team titles, and the Road Warriors versus the Midnight Express up on a scaffold. And if you tuned in yesterday, you'll know this is Nick's favorite Starrcade. Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, yeah. If anything, I would put the Brad Armstrong match a little high, my number two, for the simple point is that I was never big on Brad Armstrong. I never thought he had much in the ring. But when I watched that match, he completely surprised me the first time I ever saw that match and how good he was in that ring, especially with Jimmy Garvin. That match was just, I could still go back and watch it and still enjoy it. And, of course, yesterday, I mean, I professed my absolute love for the Road Warriors scaffold match with the Midnight Express. I mean, it's a timeless classic that will forever be talked about by wrestling fans. Even fans that haven't actually seen the match, they know the stories behind that match and can still talk about it to this day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now we'll move on to Starrcade 87. Chi-Town Heat. And my top three matches, and this is my favorite Starrcade, for the NWA World Heavyweight title inside the steel cage, Ric Flair versus Ronnie Garvin. And the number two is Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard versus the Road Warriors for the NWA World Tag Team titles. And my number one match from that card is the NWA World TV title versus the UWF World TV title, Nikita Koloff versus Terry Taylor. And the reason I think Nikita and Terry Taylor match stole the card was because you had a wrestler, Terry Taylor, and you just had a brute Nikita, and somehow it just clicked, in my opinion, and they just tore the house down. What's your opinion, Nick, of that card?
Well, that's my least favorite Starrcade of all time, and pretty much the only match I really enjoy is Nikita and Terry Taylor. As far as I'm concerned, Starrcade 87 was kind of the moment in which Jim Crockett Promotions jumped the shark, you know, going into Chicago with Ronnie Garvin as a world champion, but, you know, that's for another discussion. The Nikita-Terry Taylor match reminds me a lot of the matches Ultimate Warrior had with Rick Rude, where Nikita didn't have much to offer in that ring, very green and sloppy in the ring, but then you had the consummate wrestler in Terry Taylor, and you could see Terry Taylor working his butt off to get a great match out of Nikita, and he managed to pull it off. Pairing them together was great for Nikita's career, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And now we move on to Starrcade 88. It was called True Grit. The top three matches for me are the Midnight Express versus the original Midnight Express. And then for the NWA World TV title, Rick Steiner versus Mike Rotundo. And then the number one match is for the NWA United States heavyweight title, Barry Windham versus Bam Bam Bigelow. What's your opinion on that card, Nick?
I guess I'd have to agree with your three and two, but my number one for 88 would be Flair and Luger for the world title. And that match was really the first time where you got to see Lex Luger in a match, and kind of, and the way Flair worked with him made you think, hey, wow, Luger actually probably could draw some money on top with the right guy. And Flair did that with a lot of people, but to me it was most evident when he wrestled Lex Luger, especially at Starrcade 88. I mean, that match was just carried off very brilliantly from a booking standpoint.
Oh, yeah. And for me, the reason I thought Barry Windham and Bam Bam was my number one is because, you know, you had Bam Bam Bigelow, this big, big guy that flew around the ring like you could not believe. And then you had a second-generation wrestler, which he was a real great wrestler, Barry Windham. And they just meshed really well. They both, you know, did really good. And it just surprised me that how great of a match that was. Okay, we're going to move on to the last Starrcade of the 80s, Starrcade 89, which to me, it really wasn't that great of a card to me because it was called Future Shock and they had the tournament. My top three matches from that card was number three, Lex Luger versus the Great Muta, and number two, Rick and Scott Steiner versus the Road Warriors, and number three, Sting versus Flair, which we got a preview of that big feud that they started to have in the 90s, or before it got into the 90s. What's your opinion, Nick?
I'd say my top three would be Luger and Sting, then the Road Warriors versus the Steiners, and then finally Sting and Flair. The pay-per-view itself, the concept was cool, but to me the execution was lacking, you know, a little bit. They did have some interesting matches that people would have wanted to see, like the Road Warriors and the Steiner Brothers, but they weren't really given enough time to really sink their teeth into that match and make it as great as it could have been.
Exactly. And another thing, if people remember that card, that Starrcade, is Doom was there with the late Nancy / woman that they did not win a match in that tournament. And then I think it was like maybe like 3 or 4 months later, they beat the Steiners for the World Tag Team titles. So to me, that kind of didn't make much sense doing that. What was your opinion about that whole thing, Nick?
Well, you know, it was WCW in 89 and part of 90, so most things in WCW didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, this is true. So now we're going to move on to Survivor Series, which Nick clearly states that Survivor Series is actually his favorite compared to Starrcade. But we're going to start with the very first one, Survivor Series 87. And I'm going to say my top three, and then we'll ask Nick if his opinion, if he thought my ratings is right. But if you want to get on the conversation, you can call 646-668-8873 or ilove80swrestling@gmail.com, and I'll read your thing on the air. So my top three, the first, number three, is the Randy Savage team of Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat, Jake Roberts, Jim Duggan, and Brutus Beefcake versus the Honky Tonk Man, Dan Davis, Harley Race, Hercules, and Ron Bass. And then the number two is the Fabulous Moolah, Rockin' Robin, Velvet McIntyre, Jumping Bomb Angels versus Sherry Martel, Leilani Kai, Judy Martin, Donna Cristello, and Dawn Marie. And the number one is Andre the Giant, One Man Gang, King Kong Bundy, and Butch Reed versus Hulk Hogan, Paul Orndorff, Don Morocco, and Ken Patera, and Bam Bam Bigelow. I think I might have left one out of the Andre one, but anyway, what do you think of that lineup, Nick?
Well, my top three, number three would be the 20-man match with all the tag teams. I mean, so much tag team talent in just one match was amazing. And the one thing I kind of find entertaining and funny is how they booked that match where they kind of went out of their way to try and make the Young Stallions seem like an up and coming team. You know, which obviously they end up not going anywhere, but it was still a very entertaining match. Number two, I'd go with the main event, Hogan's team versus Andre's team. I touched on it yesterday. My favorite part about it was when it came down to just Bam Bam Bigelow against, I think, One Man Gang, Bundy, and Andre. And they did it in a way where you actually thought Bam Bam might actually pull it off single-handedly, and then he runs into the big Andre the Giant, who just completely destroys him. I thought that was brilliantly done. And number one, without a doubt, was the women's match. As far as I'm concerned, it's my all-time favorite of the traditional Survivor Series tag team matches. The level of workmanship that went into that match from every single one of those women was spectacular.
Oh, yeah, and I think it was maybe a month or two before that, Sherry Martel came to the WWF and she beat Moolah. I think it was maybe actually her first match there. I forget exactly, the 80s kind of, blend all together. But it was a good storytelling throughout that whole women's match, and it was just a great match. So now we'll move to...
And plus it foreshadowed the future match between the Jumping Bomb Angels and the Glamour Girls, where they would tear the house down at the very first Royal Rumble in 88.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I remember watching that, and I was kind of shocked that Leilani Kai and Judy Martin lost the titles to the Jumping Bomb Angels because, you never really saw the women's tag team titles as much as you did the women's single title. And to me, that kind of, I don't know what Vince was thinking, but, who knows what Vince thinks. But now we'll go to Survivor Series 88. My number three match on that is Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Hercules, Coco Beware, and Hippo Lee Jim versus Ted DiBiase, Big Boss Man, Akeem, Haku, and the Red Rooster. And the number two is Andre the Giant, Rick Rude, Dino Bravo, Kurt Hennig, and Harley Race versus Jim Duggan, Jake Roberts, Scott Casey, Ken Patera, and Tito Santana. And my number one favorite on that one would be the Ultimate Warrior, Brutus Beefcake, Sam Houston, Blue Blazer, and Jim Brunzell versus the Honky Tonk Man, Ron Bass, Danny Davis, Greg Valentine, and Bad News Brown. What's your opinion, Nick?
My number three would be the main event, the Mega Powers versus DiBiase's team.
Yeah. Yeah.
My number two would definitely be the Ultimate Warriors team against the Honky Tonk Man for the sheer fact that you had guys like the Blue Blazer, Owen Hart, Sam Houston of all people, and Ron Bass on a big pay-per-view like that. I thought that was kind of funny. My number one is the 20-man tag team match. the story that was told towards the end of that match with Mr. Fuji, like, turning on Demolition and helping the Powers of Pain, that was a pretty cool moment in WWE history, and that's one I always like to go back and watch.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and we'll move on to Survivor Series 89. My number 3-1 is The Ultimate Warrior, Jim Neidhart and the Rockers versus Bobby Heenan, Andre the Giant, Haku, and Arn Anderson. And the number 2 is Hulk Hogan, Jake Roberts, Demolition versus Ted DiBiase, Zeus, and the Power of Pain. And the number 1 is Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, and the Rougeau Brothers versus Roddy Piper, Jimmy Snuka, and the Bushwhackers. What do you think of that, Nick?
Man, that one's kind of hard to pick. I guess number 3 would be the Ultimate Warriors versus the Heenan family. Some good teams there. I kind of like the interactions between Arn Anderson and Bobby Heenan during that match. You know, Anderson's having to do all the work and starts yelling at Bobby. That was pretty good. Number two, I think I would pick the King's Court versus the 4x4s. I thought that was a pretty good match, and had some good workers in there like Savage and Greg Valentine and Bret Hart and Hacksaw, who's always one of my favorites, and Ronnie Garvin. My number one would definitely be the Rude Brood versus Roddy's Rowdies. My favorite thing about that was actually the promo that Roddy's team cut before the match when Snuka and the Bushwhackers are sitting there eating on the turkey legs and singing that song, Them Bones, Them Bones. Uh-huh. That just added so much entertainment to that match, and the in-ring work was pretty good too. You know, despite the Bushwhackers.
Oh yeah, and a little backstory of the Ultimate Warriors versus the Heenan family. We know now that, if I remember correctly, Tully Blanchard did get in trouble for, you know, he even admits it that he partook in drugs and all that. If I remember correctly, I think that's what happened, why he wasn't on that card. And plus, I think he got into it with one of the road agents or something like that. So, do you remember anything about that, Nick?
I never heard anything about him testing positive for cocaine in the WWF. I do remember him telling that's when Arn went back to WCW, he was supposed to go with, and he ended up not getting a contract because he ended up testing positive for cocaine then. But if he told the story about it happening in the WWF too, I never heard it.
Okay. That's what I thought I heard. I'm not, you know, like I said, the 80s have been way back, so, you know, it could have been before he wanted to go to WCW again. But out of all the, like we talked on yesterday about what people should take from both, what do you think people should take from the Starrcade pay-per-view or the Starrcade big matches, Nick, in your opinion?
I think they should take from it that Starrcade was a groundbreaking creation created by Dusty Rhodes. It really was the forerunner to WrestleMania. It was the original big supercard. You know, the NWA would spend all year building up to that one show, and, you know, all the big feuds would have their blow-off match at that show. It made it must-see pay-per-view TV.
Oh, definitely. And what do you think people should take from the Survivor Series back in the 80s?
I think the Survivor Series was just fun, just like pure fun pay-per-view, you know, to see all these different teams, you know, people they might not ever book to team up during a regular show, a regular pay-per-view. All of a sudden, they're on the same team and trying to battle another team of five. I mean, it created some interesting matchups and really good in-ring work for the most part.
Definitely. And now, with Survivor Series and Starrcade, my opinion, like with Starrcade, it was the traditional wrestling fans, you know, paid big card. You know, if you're into traditional wrestling, like Hold for Hold, you know, like that, Starrcade was your pay-per-view that you and big card you wanted to watch and you looked forward to. Now, with the Survivor Series, it was more the big guy type of pay-per-view that, like I think it was John said yesterday, that you could take your family to that and follow it a lot easier than you could with the NWA Starrcade, because they were more into the more storyline, more, you know, like that, compared to the Survivor Series where, you know, you just throw these guys in because, you know, this person don't like this person, and like something like that. So it just, it was more of a family-oriented big show compared to Starrcade. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. Survivor Series was, there really wasn't a whole lot of talk about feuds during those Survivor Series, unless it usually involved, you know, Hulk Hogan or Randy Savage or something like that. It was more just like, you know, the concept was like, hey, what would happen if you put these five guys on a team against these five guys? What would happen? You know, some dream, what they thought was dream matches. You know, and that was the appeal of the original Survivor Series. And like I said, Starrcade, that was their big go-home show for the year, you know, where all the big feuds would, you know, end and have the big final blow-off matches. And that was, you know, for different crowds, different types of wrestling fans. The more hardcore wrestling fans would want to rather see Starrcade, you know, more traditional Southern wrestling style. And, of course, you know, the WWE style is, it is what it is. It's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. And they certainly have their fan base for it as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, like, this show's mostly 80s wrestling. We get into a little bit of the late 70s, a little bit of the 90s. And me and Nick talked about this before we did yesterday's show, and like a couple weeks before. You said you really liked the Survivor Series, I believe 1990, where you had the teams, the people that survived the elimination, they had to come back and wrestle again. What did you think of that whole pay-per-view, Nick?
That, I love that pay-per-view. When I go back and watch old Survivor Series, that's usually the first one I go to. I loved that concept of if you survive once, you go back at the end of the night in the main event and you try and survive again. I thought they should have continued with that concept going forward in the other Survivor Series. I thought it was a great way to do it, especially when they had the one entire team, Rick Martel team, the Visionaries, the entire team went on to the main event against with Ted DiBiase against Hogan, Warrior, and of all people, Tito Santana, who got the main event of pay-per-view. Me being a big mark for Tito, I was very happy to see him in the main event and get the shine a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that. It was completely different concept where, you know, I don't know whose idea it was, but they kind of switched this whole Survivor Series up on that one. And I kind of agree with you that they should have continued that at least for another couple pay-per-views of it, of the Survivor Series, but they didn't.
And
so,
of course,
you know,
Survivor Series 1990 had the greatest debut in the history of pro wrestling, the Gobbledygook.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But we're coming down to the end of this show. I just want to say thanks for everyone listening. Thanks for everyone that has listened to the archives of this show. And I just really want to say thank you, and thank you for letting my passion of 80s wrestling be your guide to 80s wrestling. And I want to thank Nick for being here again today for this show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, I love talking about classic wrestling. I can do it for days on end and never get bored. So,
oh yeah, me too. But we're going to end this show, coming up to the end of it. And next month, we're doing a dedication episode to, I don't know if it's going to be a one or two show, but to the late, great Nick Bockwinkel. And I hope all you will tune in to that, call in and tell us your memories of Nick Bockwinkel, or email us to that to tell us what your opinion and memories of Nick Bockwinkel is. And just keep watching 80s wrestling, and let's keep 80s wrestling alive. I'm your host, Scott Middleton. Thank you for joining I Love 80s Wrestling Podcast. This is Scott Middleton, host of I Love 80s Wrestling Podcast. When I want to listen to a podcast, I listen to Radio Takedown Network. They have the Bashi's Radio Takedown. He talks about entertainment, sports, or whatever you want to talk about. And it's always uncensored. And they also have To the Task with Kevin Sullivan. And he always has a special guest. So do what I do. When I want to listen to podcasts, I listen to the Radio Takedown Network.